would you like to discover how daily practices quiet the mind and reframe success? Isabel Tremblay will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Isabel is she is a best-selling author, CMO, and heart-led leadership expert, guiding growth through purpose. And she has a best-selling book called Love, Lead, Succeed, The Supernatural Approach to Business and Life, which blends her story with actionable tools for redefining success without losing yourself. And she's the host of Eye on the Industry podcast. So Isabel, tell us about how did you come to discover that daily practices quiet the mind and reframe success?
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm excited to share my story and hopefully some great practical tips with your audience. I've learned some of these techniques, I would say, unfortunately and fortunately, through burnout. So I had a 23-year corporate career that led me to be, head of marketing for a very large corporation, but I was doing two very high level executive roles at the same time. And through that, I was a single mom. And at some point, my body completely stopped functioning normally, and my mind as well, of course. And when I went through this burnout, I had to find ways to heal myself, over and above seeing a doctor or taking any kind of medication. And then I started reading hundreds of books and listening to podcasts, and I started some really powerful daily practices, including meditation, but also the practice of gratitude to help me heal and really rediscover myself.
Thank you. And tell us about what's the blueprint for someone who wants to become a lot more successful. Is there a series of daily practices you recommend? And if so, what is the order they should do it in?
Well, first, for someone that wants to be successful, I would share again my experience with it. But I used to believe that being successful was, titles, the number of emails, completed, or even, having a nice car. But now I know that I've redefined success to how aligned I am with my, with my purpose. And that really tells me how successful I am every day. And in order to keep in that right frame of mind, I've implemented some daily practices. So the first one I mentioned is meditation. So I don't get out of bed before I complete a 30-minute meditation. And for some people that might be long. I would say if you're not sure about meditating, you could start just with 5 minutes and increase time as you get more used to doing it. The second thing that's been kind of a game changer for me is I go on my gratitude walks in the morning, right after my meditation. And this allows me to really go through, on average, like 50 things that I'm the most grateful for. And gratitude does something amazing in your mind and in your body, because it makes you, first of all, be grateful for what you have. So it puts you in a happy state. And it's also the, the key thing for receivership. So grateful people tend to be in a better state to receive things as well.
Thank you. Tell us about the meditation. Is there a particular practice you follow in terms of meditation? Like, is there a particular audio that you would listen? And if so, what tends to happen in that meditation? Because I think that, for example, I find meditation a little bit scary. And the reason I find it scary is because it feels like I'm alone there, and I am, okay? And then it's like a lot of the meditation that I've experienced is all about like going through this path, and you're going to the woods, or you're kind of like going up, and then you're in a circle, or you're in a cube, and it's like, oh my God, I'm so scared being there by myself. And I'm wondering about, is there a particular meditation that has worked for you, and what tends to be like what happens in the meditation that makes you actually quiet the mind? Because for me, it's like, oh my God, my mind is racing. I'm so scared being here.
Yes. And, you know, that's a challenge with meditation is, you know, what meditation is getting familiar with yourself, right? And by being able to quiet down the mind, you're able to get more familiar with yourself. But for some people, when you go in a complete silence, it's not the best way for them to do it because maybe their mind gets, you know, like busier and noisier. So then I would recommend guided meditation. For me, one of my number one guided meditation is with Dr. Joe Dispenza. I've actually read three of his books and attended two of his week-long retreat in person, and it's been life-changing for me. And he has many different types of meditation, whether you want to bring more abundance in your life or, you know, resolve a work on a problem that you have or focus on healing, because meditation can help with healing as well when you think about how you want to feel or things, you know, you want to improve in your body, as opposed to thinking about what you don't want, then you can totally change things. So I personally like Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditation, but there's, you know, many different other great, I guess I'll call them gurus or people out there that can help you do guided meditation. I think it's it can be easier for you to use a guide as opposed to just trying to do it on your own and in your own silence.
Thank you. Tell us about the gratitude walks. What tends to happen? Like, what do you say to yourself? Like, I'm grateful for, do you tend to kind of say stuff that hasn't already happened? Like, for example, I'm so great. I'm so happy and grateful now that I am, I don't know, multimillionaire, or I'm so happy and grateful now that I am healthy and perhaps you're not. Or do you kind of, or do you just say gratitude for stuff that actually has happened?
I would say I do a mixture of both, because I certainly go through, you know, the people in my life that I'm grateful for. So they're, you know, they're already there. So I'm grateful for them. But sometimes I'll say something if somebody has a challenge or, you know, they're sick, you know, I'll say thank you for, you know, my father's like healthy leg, or, you know, I'll twist it so that I focus on something that might not be there right now, but by saying that he's actually healthy, I'm hoping that he will become healthy. But then I go through, you know, like some people do, I have a vision board. And on that vision board, I have everything from, you know, the house I would like to live in, to my health, like what are my goals, to, you know, the my animals, my career. And I go through every single thing on my vision board. But, you know, thanking the universe for these things having already happened. So to answer your question, it's more about, even though sometimes it hasn't happened yet, I you know, I thank the universe for things that that would have happened.
Thank you. Do you have like a series of 10 commandments or perhaps a system or a blueprint that you use in terms of the kind of daily practices that can help someone become more successful, and not just more successful, but you can say to reduce anxiety as well? Because I think if you're ultra successful, but you're ultimately very, very anxious all the time, and your personal relationship with your husband or wife is a mess, then I don't know if you're really successful.
I would say in general, it would be to be kinder with yourself. You know, we have a lot of noise in our head, and a lot of that noise is not kind. So try to have daily practices, or when you think, try whenever you catch yourself thinking something negative, or, oh, I don't know, like this meeting's not going to go well, or, oh, this is not a good day. Try to reframe it to something more positive. But then on a daily basis, to help you be more successful, it's good to establish a routine, and everybody's different. But for me, it's starting with a meditation, then it's going on my gratitude walks. And then often I'll get busy throughout the day, but I can't say that all my days are perfect. Sometimes I'll feel, you know, a little of that anxiety coming back. And what makes things get more peaceful would be doing some breathing exercise would be one, or sometimes it's just focusing on, you know, if I get a little anxious, like I have, you know, looking at my bottle of water and just calming down my mind. And then when we get towards the evening, I try to have positive affirmation, you know, when I get myself ready for bed. And often before bed, or even sometimes during the night, I have positive affirmation playing on audio, which may not work for everyone, especially if you have a, you know, a partner sleeping with them. You might be disturbing their sleep, but it's a good way to reprogram your subconscious mind as well to, you know, try to achieve that more successful life.
Thank you. So when you're playing these affirmations, what do you say to yourself? Give us some examples.
Things like, you know, I'm so grateful that the universe is constantly working in my favor. You know, I'm grateful for all the people I love in my life, and I'm grateful for my success at work. I'm grateful for all the abundance in my life. And abundance is not always just, you know, money. It's, you know, anything, like, and sometimes little things that we take for granted, like running water. So these are all things, and there's a lot of pre-recorded positive affirmation that are on a loop. You can listen to on YouTube. They go from anywhere from like 1 hour to even 12 hours for those who sleep longer. But I even pushed it further where I started recording my positive affirmation, because apparently when your subconscious mind hears your voice, it's more powerful than listening to some, you know, stranger's voice telling you things. So if you're actually you know, affirming these things yourself, then you're more apt to start, like, I'll use the word digesting it, but really getting it in.
Thank you. Tell us about the impact that daily practices to quiet the mind have had on your personal success or the success of your coaches or the people that you have worked with. Have you noticed any difference?
Well, personally, it changed everything for me, because I've always tried to be a very positive person, but sometimes I would start my day, you know, didn't get a good night's sleep. So I would start a little bit on the negative note. But being able to, you know, start my day with a meditation and starting my day with being grateful changed, you know, I don't always have a perfect day, but in general, it's, you know, when something bad happened, I just reframe it. And I always try to have that positive set of mind. And how it has impacted other people, well, I'm very happy to say that since I launched my book, Love, Lead, Succeed, now I've launched a speaking and a coaching business. So now my goal is to positively impact over 1 million people with the Love, Lead, Succeed message. So I'm starting to do public speaking, in which I'm going to help people with some of the coaching in my book. And I also do one-on-one coaching with the Love, Lead, Succeed method that helps individuals for a period of 6 months really be able to reclaim their time, power, and energy through different techniques.
Thank you. Tell us more about Love, Lead, Succeed, your book, The Supernatural Approach to Business and Life. Tell us about what's supernatural about it, and tell us more about the concept of love, lead, succeed. Like, how can people lead with love and make that be their success?
Yes, and supernatural can sound a little woo-woo sometimes, but supernatural, it's all about being connected with yourself. So if you think about leadership, people think often of leadership from a place of power, but I've experienced through my career that leadership is actually an action that should be being at the service of others. And how do you be at the service of others? Well, it starts with love, self-love for yourself, but love for others. So it incorporates, so there's 15 different chapters in that book, but it incorporates like things such as emotional intelligence. I definitely tap into a full chapter on the power of the mind, because I'm very passionate about, you know, the mind and what it can do for your future and the impact it can do have on others. But this is what, you know, supernatural leadership means. It's love-led leadership that starts, you know, with self-trust and really supporting your team through the power of listening and emotional intelligence as well.
Thank you. Tell us more about Love Leads Succeed. What are some of the most important topics that you cover in that book, and how can they help someone to reframe success and to become more successful?
Yes. So the most important topic in this book is self-love, and I go through many different techniques on how you can improve self-love, how to take care of yourself. The power of the mind is a big one. So I go through the different types of meditation, but I go through different practices people can implement, such as, I'll go through the example of the gratitude walk, but I also have the gratitude rock, and I have different, you know, examples that people can implement to help them more be more aligned, you know, with their purpose. And then at the beginning, when I wrote this book, it was meant more to be a business book, right? But when I started writing every chapter, it became something much more powerful. And that's why I called it the supernatural approach to business and life, because it became a tool really for just regular people, not only people that are in business, but regular people to have tools to help, like, really refocus their mind, to help them live a life of service. So I have many different examples of things you can do to live a life of service. I talk about the power of emotional, you know, intelligence. And so it's really about leadership with love, and how you can, you know, live a life that's really tapping into your time, energy, purpose, and power.
Thank you. Tell us more about how self-love impacts your ability to lead with love.
Well, I guess self-love is the center of everything, because you can't love others if you don't have this love for yourself first. And I talk a lot about women in the book too, because women, they often learn to lead before they learn to love themselves. We grow up and then we take all these responsibilities. And often, even if you're like in a partnership relationship, we all often carry the emotional burden at home, and including taking on all these tasks. And self-love starts with creating boundaries. And there's a famous quote from Oprah in my book about this too. My challenge previously is that I was not able to say no. Self-love starts with creating those boundaries and learning to say no when this is not aligned with either your purpose or your priorities. And I think that's the number one thing that I want to share with people, is that it's okay to say no. You need to create those boundaries to really be able to take care of yourself first.
Thank you. So for a person who is a people pleaser, typically they might think that leading with love means giving more, giving even more than they normally do. Right? But the opposite is actually true. Keeping certain boundaries so that you're not like trod over, you're not like a doormat, it can be really hard. So how does the people pleaser learn to have this kind of self-love so they can say no, so they can start creating some boundaries? Because for some people pleasers, it is almost impossible to create boundaries because they don't even know what boundaries are. They are just like giving more and more and more and more, because that's their way of kind of like, they believe that's how they show love.
Yes. And for those people, you know, they eventually, unfortunately, I hope it's not through burnout, but they'll learn that you can't pour from an empty cup. And unfortunately, you know, I'm in North America, like corporate America seems to be like celebrating the hustle culture. But too many people, women, are like just exhausted and disconnected because they believe that doing more is a sign of success, but it's not. And you can, you know, you can say no to people in a kind and you know, respectful way, because it, as I said, it starts with self-love. And when, you know, when you have so many minutes in the day, you have to choose what your priorities are and really take care of your health first, because you can't help others if you're not doing well yourself.
Thank you. How did you implement some of these concepts of leading with love in your own business? Can you give us like a practical example from your business, or perhaps other coaches that you've had that have read your book, or you know, mentees that you've had that have implemented this concept? And what were the results of kind of like making that shift from leading in the regular way to leading with love?
Yes, well, my Love Lead Succeed for me is now a new way of living. So from my daily routine about meditation and gratitude, then it goes to living a life of service. And there's many things that I implement, you know, to make sure I serve others. But again, making sure I do it from a priority standpoint and what aligns with my life and with the people I coach too. It goes through, and my coaching approach is customized based on the goals of each person. So it could vary depending on the individual. But if somebody wants to work more on, you know, regaining their power or purpose, then we can, you know, work on this more. If it's more about, you know, being able to control or have a, you know, being more aligned with themselves and their mind, then we can work on this. So I'm not going to share a specific example about some of the people I've coached, but I can tell you that it can have a profound impact on their life, because it focuses, you know, on themselves and how to reclaim that energy that often they're missing or feeling, you know, lost and disconnected with this world.
Thank you. How can a perfectionist entrepreneur lead with love? Because, for example, let's say that we do this podcast together, okay? And at the end of it, let's say my team will misspell your name, okay? And your name is very important. And your name is very important to me as well. It's important to you and to me. And it's important to the world as well that they find you in Google. So when, let's say if they make a mistake with your company name or your name, you know, like your actual name, and then I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, you should be checking that. You know what I mean? So it's like, how does a perfectionist manage to lead with love and at the same time manage to get the kind of objectives that they desire for that particular business and enroll, touch, move, and inspire the kind of people that they work with so that those people are motivated to kind of pursue the company goals together and are motivated long term to do so?
Right. I think it's, you know, you need to lead. Leading with love is, you know, creates trust and respect. I understand, like, your example of, like, you know, somebody's going to make a mistake, and sometimes it can be very impactful on a brand or on somebody else. But I always go back to a place of peace, because I protect my energy like it's sacred. Because when you go through a burnout experience and you lose all your energy, then after you make sure, and I'm not saying it could never happen again, but I always go back to peace. So I know that, you know, pain or pleasure never lasts forever. So when something goes wrong, you first have to go back to that peace and say how you can fix. So focus on the solutions and not let, you know, something, I don't want to call it little, but in the grand scheme of thing, you know, that not, a, you know, that important in your life goal, you know, take your energy away. Or I'll say that sometimes about people, like people will, you know, they'll be judged by someone or they'll hear a negative comment from someone, and I'll say, well, don't let them leave space for free in your mind. But yeah, so to go back to your question, for those, you know, those people that are perfectionists, that, you know, I can understand that it can be difficult to lead with love, but I think by implementing some daily practices, you know, some of the examples I mentioned were meditation, gratitude, but also to learn to breathe and, you know, be aligned with your greatest purpose. Like, don't be, I would recommend to have like a, of course you have your work goals, but have your personal goals and make them clear. And whenever you have an issue, well, go back to those, because your work goals are very important, but it should go back to how aligned it is with your overall purpose in life.
Thank you. What I've discovered is that generally, I'm a very fun person, and I like to laugh a lot, you know. And but what I've noticed is that sometimes there are tiny things that will trigger me. So, for example, let's say last night I didn't sleep well. I went to bed at 4 and I woke up at 9, and then I didn't get enough sleep. I mean, I need about 8 hours. And then my shower didn't work, like it was cold, you know, like there was no hot water, and it was kind of the same in the morning. I was hoping it would be different. And then like the electrician came to kind of fix it, and he kind of showed me, oh, you should have like just turned left rather than right, you know, for the shower. Okay. And it's like, you know, like normally I would be like so cool and so chilled, and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited that you were able to fix this problem and so on. But today I was like very irritable, you know? And it's like, sometimes it's like these little tiny things that can trigger you on a bad day when you haven't slept or you haven't done certain practices like you mentioned. And what I've noticed as well is, for example, when I go to the gym, and I don't go to the gym often because I like to swim, I don't really like the gym. But when I do go to the gym, I find that I'm like in such a good mood, and I mean, the world could collapse and I would find a way to be like, oh, you know, we can just build a new one. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I could be like in such a like a great mood, almost like nothing could trigger me. Nothing, almost nothing could be like ruining my mood, and so much could go wrong. And I'm wondering, is there any other practice aside from the ones that you mentioned that you believe are important? Is it diet? Is it exercise? Is it doing something fun? Is it something else that you do that kind of keeps you in that, you know, great positive state of mind so that you're able to lead with love a lot more often?
Yes. So I would say to choose things in general that bring you happiness as opposed to, you know, being unhappy. But I would say everything starts with your mind. So, you know, your beliefs will shape your decision and what you think about something. So there's definitely things in your life that you should be looking at implementing if they bring you happiness. For instance, you know, you mentioned working out. Of course, working out and exercising is a great way to, you know, bring, you know, oxygen in your mind and, you know, bring you happiness. For me, it's my morning walk because I get some fresh air. I live by the lake. And it brings even more gratitude because I enjoyed, you know, I enjoy looking at the scenery and the beauty of the world. For other people, it might be, you know, reading a book or, you know, spending time with their kids. So I would say it's to choose things that bring you happiness as opposed to things that don't bring that happiness to you.
Thank you. Is there anything else that is important for someone who wants to lead with love?
I would say it's to start, it starts with yourself. So love yourself first, and know that, you know, leading with love will help create trust, safety, impact, and, you know, don't be too hard or judgmental on yourself. Learn to really love yourself and be your best advocate. Like one example I have, I mentioned when, you know, when I get ready for bed, like don't be afraid to look at yourself even in the mirror and say, you know, Isabel, you had a really good day today. You spent like a good hour with your kids, during dinner time, and, you know, you went and worked out and you did all these things. So, you know, start by loving yourself first, and then the love for the rest of the world will follow.
Thank you. Give us some examples of self-love. So, for example, I find that a long, long time ago, when I was a nanny, it was like 14 years ago, and I remember that I implemented this thing called a happiness calendar, and I was working from like 8 in the morning until at least 7 p.m., sometimes until 11 p.m. And I remember that I knew in advance what my schedule was going to be for the week. So I would plan really fun things for around the work time. And sometimes it was something really tiny, like, for example, going to Costa Coffee and just having like a nice latte with marshmallows and nice, you know, sauce on it, you know, like caramel sauce or whatever. And then 3 times a week, it was going to the gym, and 3 times a week going salsa dancing and playing tennis and, you know, and playing squash. And I'm wondering, is there any like routine that you found most effective in your life to kind of keep you positive and uplifted all of the time, so you are able to like lead with love?
Yes. Well, it starts with the power of your mind and having the right mindset. So for me, that starts with meditation, because I don't want to get up and start, you know, going through my day on autopilot like most of us are. We'll get up, we'll brush our teeth, and you know, go pour, you know, yourself a cup of coffee, and then we go through the same things over and over again. So I start my day with a meditation to be able to plan the life that I want with things that are going to, you know, bring me happiness. So every person is different, but I would say plan, you know, those things to make sure that they bring you happiness and a smile on your face. And I love, by the way, your happiness. That would be a good thing for, I guess, your audience to implement. Like, what if you included one thing per day for the full week that would bring you happiness? And on my social media, on Love Lead Succeed on Instagram, I share a lot of tips to not only about what can bring you happiness, but how to really get back in touch with yourself and, you know, tap into the power of your mind and reclaim your energy and such. And these are all things that can help on a daily basis bring you back happiness.
Thank you. Give us an example of how someone would apply the concept of leading with love into their life or business versus, let's say, a regular person who might just act in a normal way. How would they act differently? How would they act better versus a regular person? An example, a practical example from your life or life of your mentees, that where they have applied the concept of leading with love, and what does that look like?
Yeah, I would say one example would be somebody that's you know, lives a life of hustle. Like they get up in the morning, they start, rushing through their day, again, brushing their teeth, going in their car, driving to work, and then starting getting through, you know, 10 meetings and answering all these emails. And again, doing it on autopilot, but not being really aligned with, you know, their purpose and not taking the time to take care of themselves. So somebody that's leading with love would probably get up, you might want a meditation or not, but you would start, you know, having positive thoughts about your life, your day, and what you want out of your day. And then you'd probably go exercise a little, you know, to bring either fresh air in your lungs or get your body in shape. And then, you know, you would make sure throughout your day that you would have those boundaries set, not to say yes to everything, and make sure you, you protect your energy because it is sacred. And then when you come home from work, you would, turn off your phone and not check emails from work till, 10 p.m. And then you would make sure to spend time with your family or the one you the people you love, or even your animals. And maybe you go for another walk, or you read your favorite book, but it's about caring for yourself, loving yourself first, and saying no to things that are not necessarily good for you.
Thank you. If you find yourself in situations where you are getting ghosted in life or business, what can you do to kind of like bring love to that conversation and not kind of take it upon yourself to be harsh and think about, oh, I'm actually not worth it. That's why people are not reaching back, or I'm not worthy of love, or I don't deserve it, or some other disempowering beliefs that they may have. How can someone change that belief so that they stop manifesting these kind of people that kind of ghost them in life or business?
Yeah, well, one of the person I really like listening to is Mel Robbins, and she has a good book about, the Let Them theory. So I think that's one of the thing that I implement, because I think people, again, they overthink. Sometimes somebody will ghost you, but they didn't even plan on ghosting you. They might be going through some family drama, or they might have lost like a loved one, or they might be going through a rough time. So it's just about, again, protecting your energy. So if this person doesn't want to talk to you anymore, well, let them. I mean, there's billions of people on this earth, so you can find somebody else, surely. So that would be my approach. I don't let people lease space for free in my mind. Now, if this was gonna happen, with my daughter or somebody close, I might just have to do a little bit more of work internally to get over it, but. I would say that would be my recommendation, not to overthink and not to let people get in your mind this way, because you're in charge of your own existence and your own happiness. And sometimes letting such event of somebody ghosting you will have a negative impact on your energy and your life, and it should not be this way.
Thank you. I find that showing myself love can come in so many different ways. So I think, for example, like spending an afternoon with yourself by, doing your nails and doing your hair, and even kind of like passing a mirror and kind of like, instead of being harsh on yourself and looking at your wrinkles and saying, oh, being harsh on any of your looks that you perhaps sometimes dislike, looking at yourself with self-compassion and even saying, wow, I look so good today, or I'm like, wow, I'm so hot today, and I find that that is like a really great way to show yourself love, and even treating yourself to flowers or treating yourself to a little tiny present for yourself, a little bit of chocolate, or I don't know, something that you can self-indulge in is really a great thing. One thing that I feel has made me feel a lot more love for myself is actually affirmations like, I am supported in my project and I impact 100 million people to be happier, to go after what they want, to share their stories, and to create wealth through books that transform the world. And I am appreciated and loved by millions of people for the artistry, creativity, love, joy, and expertise I bring to people. And one thing that I've noticed in terms of a shift, a mindset shift, is that for a really long time, you can say like forever, I have always felt unsupported in my goals. I have always felt alone and lonely, and almost like there for everybody and not that many people kind of being there for me. And recently, because I think sometimes I say these affirmations, I'm not very consistent with it, but when I do say it, I'm noticing very, very tiny shifts in what's actually happening. For example, I traveled and like one person offered to pick me up from the airport. I'm like, this has never happened. Okay. And then I traveled to another city. Another person offered to pick me up from the airport. Okay. And then another person offered to like take me to the airport. Another person offered, like, and it's like all of these different tiny things, like tiny shifts. And you could think nothing of it. It's like no big deal. But it shows me that actually I am supported in my goals. And it also shows me that, for example, there's this person who is like, oh, have you eaten, or have you like even having that person like check up on me and say, okay, how are you doing today? Like normally there's nobody checking up on me, and just having that tiny, that tiny detail of like one person checking up on me is like such a massive thing that it's kind of showing me that I am supported by the universe. But I think the most important thing for me is that it's like I created this with my own mind, because I think that if I'm always thinking about, okay, I'm unsupported, then I will be attracting that. And it's almost like I'm creating self-hate in a way, right? Whereas by changing this mindset, by kind of continuously working on my affirmations and self-love and saying, you know, I am supported in my plans, then gradually I'm seeing tiny changes that ultimately I'm sure will lead to bigger results. And I'm wondering whether there's any other things that you would like to add about how making tiny changes can lead over time to massive success.
Yes. Well, I think what you just said is absolutely beautiful. And I'm sorry you felt like alone and unsupported at this, you know, at some moments in your life, because your mission is incredible. I would say what people can do, like tiny things, it's to start with like having a couple of practices per day, like whether again, I mentioned meditation, but it could be gratitude walk. But the power of positive affirmation, it's incredible, because it just changes how your mind is. And, you know, saying positive things to yourself will bring positive things in your life. You know, it's not, you know, necessarily just like the law of attraction. It's just what you think about you bring in your life. So I would say, just generally speaking, try to reframe your thoughts whenever you catch yourself having a negative thought. Just try to reframe it and say something positive instead, because you probably notice, you know, when you start having a bad day, you talked about your shower this morning, like sometimes things will spiral down throughout the day because you just keep thinking about negative things, right? So I would say, like, just if you want to start with just a few things to have, you know, more success in your life and have more happiness, is try to implement one or two small things in your day, whether it's like positive affirmation or reframing negative thoughts. And then you'll start seeing a shift, because that just brings like a change in your mindset, and you'll start seeing that, you know, positive things will start happening around you on a more consistent basis.
Thank you. Have you noticed, for example, that sometimes, let's say certain times of the month, you're perhaps more irritable? And if so, how are you managing that? Is it that you are now consciously kind of like leading with love all of the time, and it's almost like you've mastered this concept so much so that you're actually never irritable, because you every time you become a little bit irritable, you kind of like breathe and then you kind of answer? And or also, is it the fact that because you implement, you know, the meditation, the breathing, the gratitude walks and exercise and so on, and doing stuff that you love, do you find that actually you're not so much in that irritability kind of stage ever? And because of that, you're always able to answer kindly, you're always able to like lead with love? Or is it that occasionally you struggle with it and you mastered certain techniques that in the face of conflict or the irritability of another person, you are able to breathe and be the bigger person, which kind of tends to be your case?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I'm very calm. However, I don't think I don't get mad very often, but I get impacted. I can say that I have 100% control yet on my peace of mind. I'm working on it though, but if somebody that's close to me, for instance, is sad, then of course it's going to have an impact on my energy, because I'm, you know, I have empathy for people. So, sometimes I'll get sad too, but it's to not push away the emotion. It's to accept it, embrace it, and then have the clear understanding that, you know, pain or pleasure doesn't last forever. So you'll say, you know, this too will pass, and try to embrace the situation with love as opposed to fear, or to add more anger to a situation, you know, that's definitely not going to help. So I definitely feel those moments. I mean, my life is not, you know, it's not all roses and butterflies. You know, there's days or moments where I feel sadness, or I'll get a little tad aggravated, but I don't get really mad, because I've, you know, learned to control that. But it's important to not push those moments away either, because you know you do have to live your life and live it with love, and you know, feel empathy for people around you as well.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
They can connect on LinkedIn at Isabelle Tremblay, or on Instagram at LoveLeadSucceed. I also have a website, LoveLeadSucceed.ca, and my YouTube channel that's also at LoveLeadSucceed. I love receiving DMs and connecting with people and hearing about their stories. It's very inspiring for me.
Thank you.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.